This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. American officials estimate that up to three-quarters of the cocaine that crosses the southern U.S. border passes by land or sea through Central America. The Central American corridor has become a smuggler's paradise. It features vast, lawless stretches of jungle and shoreline and a compliant population. Security forces are underfunded and often corrupt, and U.S. counter-drug operations are scant. The countries once known as banana republics are quickly becoming cocaine republics. NPR's John Burnett begins a three-part series.
A lobster boat plies a lagoon along Nicaragua's wild Caribbean coast. There's nothing out here but mangroves, coconut palms, pelicans, and open water. This is what U.S. military officials nervously refer to as Central America's ungoverned spaces. U.S. Army Colonel Mark Wilkins, chief of the military group at the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala City, says increased enforcement elsewhere in the region over the last decade has squeezed the traffickers into Central America.
There's essentially three ways to the U.S. market. One is directly through the Caribbean, one is through the Central American corridor and adjacent waters, and there's a third route that goes deep into the Pacific. The trend lately has been more and more towards the drugs are running along the Central American corridor, and the traffickers, being the businessmen they are, they essentially look for the path of least resistance.
The Colombian traffickers are endlessly resourceful. They crash land old DC-3s in Guatemala's Petén wilderness and truck cocaine across isolated border crossings into Mexico. They load up high-powered outboard boats and race along the coastline before turning inland at Belize or Mexico. They'll use helicopters, stolen jets, fishing trawlers, ocean freighters, shipping containers, whatever's available. Dan Fisk is Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Central America.
If you can move drugs and you can move money, you can move people and you can move weapons and you can move a lot of other things, which is why Central America at that point becomes important, because is it... in effect, the soft spot in our security apparatus, say, for a terrorist to exploit, not simply the drug traffickers. Because what is the difference in moving kilos or people or weapons? It's the same skill set.
Despite the public statements of concern, Washington is doing relatively little about it. Central America remains a blind spot in the United States' hemispheric security picture. The current policy is to focus on producing countries, such as Colombia, not transit countries like Guatemala and Nicaragua. The U.S. government helps in small ways, such as feeding intelligence to local militaries, donating fuel, repairing patrol boats, and buying police equipment. And they've been impressed by local anti-drug efforts, such as Guatemala's record seizure of 9.5 tons of coke last year. But Central America has also become a thriving destination market for cocaine. Crack addiction has spread through Guatemala City, San Salvador, Tegucigalpa, even to the tiny fishing village of Taspalpani on Nicaragua's Caribbean coast, where Cyril Joseph is a local pastor.
We've been seeing that it being a great effect in the youth, party whole days, drink and fight up, and, you know, lots of problems. We just don't know what to do. We're just desperate.
A confluence of events has played into the smugglers' hands. The U.S. military is distracted by Colombia and Iraq. The U.S. Coast Guard, which used to dispatch patrol boats to the region, has been busy at home since 9/11, escorting passenger ships and oil tankers. And now that the civil wars are over, the armies of Central America have cut their budgets and slashed troop strength, leaving large portions of the map unpatrolled. Both Nicaragua and Guatemala have appealed to Washington for military aid to help counter the drug traffickers, without success. A frustrated DEA agent in the region described Central American armies versus the traffickers as a high school team playing the Big Ten. In July, the Nicaraguan army staged a military exhibition to show how it would use its Soviet-era armor and artillery to repel an invasion. The display was impressive. Problem is, this conventional army is completely unsuited to fighting the unconventional threat posed by traffickers, who routinely use global positioning systems, night vision equipment, satellite phones, and the agile go-fast boats. General Javier Carrion, commander-in-chief of the Nicaraguan army, concedes the smugglers are better equipped than his own forces.
The narco activity has so much money, their boats and planes are disposable. They use them once and throw them away. What we're trying to do is create a special reactive force on land, air, and sea, with helicopters, boats, and special forces. That allows us to move quickly to remote locations and stop the traffickers.
The armies of El Salvador and Honduras, close U.S. allies during the 80s, are in slightly better shape, but neither country has such a big problem with drug trafficking. Guatemala, the northernmost Central American republic, is popular with smugglers for its long border with Mexico, but the Guatemalan army is hindered in its battle against the traffickers by old demons. In a hangar of the Guatemalan Air Force, mechanics are rebuilding the transmission of a weather-beaten Vietnam-era Huey helicopter, trying to make it flyable. The Air Force is desperate for spare parts to get its decrepit fleet flying again, but a 14-year-old congressional ban on military assistance to Guatemala remains in place for human rights violations committed during the counterinsurgency war. Meanwhile, drug planes overfly Guatemalan airspace with impunity, says General Julio Cesar Santamarina, chief of the Guatemalan Air Force.
If you were in my position and received the orders for intercept now, right now, aircraft that is coming from the Gulf of Honduras, I don't have any aircraft now in this particular moment. The narco traffic actually got a free tour to Guatemala, moving all amount of drug they want to.
The greatest obstacle to shutting down the Central American drug corridor is the tendency of cocaine money to corrupt everything it touches: the police, the military, prosecutors, judges, and poor populations. In just one example, Guatemala's elite U.S.-funded anti-drug force, known as the DOAN, was disbanded 2 years ago after police stole more than a ton of confiscated cocaine. Guatemalan Vice President Eduardo Stein says he fears his nation is becoming a narco state.
I wouldn't hesitate to say that the Colombianization of Guatemala is underway. You're talking about a network of colossal proportions that wields formidable amounts of money, and there is no legal employment in the rural areas that can compete with the kind of money they offer.
Or, as the Latin American saying goes, who can resist $10,000 shot out of a cannon? Mick Hogan, a former U.S. military trainer in Central America during the 1980s, says he thinks the region is destabilizing again. He's head of the Narcotics Affairs Section at the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala.
If you've been working in the region for the past 20, 30 years, you'll notice that it almost looks like it's coming around full cycle. I think that Central America will once again become a problem. The United States needs to take notice of that.
U.S. security officials say the region that was once overrun by revolutionaries is fast turning into a haven for drug traffickers. John Burnett, NPR News.
Our series, The Cocaine Republics, continues tomorrow with a look at drug trafficking on Guatemala's Pacific coast. Photos from anti-drug operations in Guatemala are at npr.org.